understanding as we hear from Melody giving us a prayer.
Good morning. Will you pray with me this morning? Oh, Lord God, thank you for gathering us here today. Sometimes life feels small and close, and we can see everything right in front of our faces, our plans, our people, our routines. But Lord, the world is so much bigger than us, so much bigger than what we can see or what we can hold or what we can plan for, Lord. Lord, you are in it all, and we put our focus on you today, God. Lord, today we take a moment to remember and honor our veterans, Lord, those who have served, sacrificed, and those who carry memories that we will never fully understand, those who stood in hard places, Lord. May we never forget to show gratitude and care. Lord, we pray for our community right here around us, our neighbors we know and the ones we don't, the quiet needs behind closed doors, Lord. Give us eyes that notice, hearts that are willing to listen. Lord, would you open doors where we can lean in, God? We pray for the world beyond us, the cities, the countries. There are joys and celebrations happening right now that we'll never know or hear about, and there are hurts and losses, Lord, that you see and that break your heart. Lord, be near to all of those things, Lord. Lord, may peace move where we can't go and let your justice rise, Lord. And Lord, we know there's so much that is far greater than our understanding. We don't have to have every answer. We don't. Lord, we are not in control. And Lord, we don't know how the whole story will work out. We just need to trust that you are good and you are here. So teach us to rest in that, Lord. Teach us to trust you and teach us to walk forward with you. Lord, make us people who would carry peace instead of hurry. Lord, would our hearts be full of compassion instead of judgment? Lord, we lift all of this to you, to the one who sees the big things and the small things and the great things, the one who sees everything at the same time. Lord, we pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Our text this morning is Colossians 3:15-17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Dee, thank you so much. And thank you, worship team. They did double duty this weekend. Last night was worship night. I asked Ben how he was feeling this morning. I figured he'd be tired after leading worship for, you know, a good hour and a half last night. He said, my foot is sore. And I was like, huh? But I realized it's because he uses a pedal the whole time. And there's a lot of pedaling going on with this piano last night. So pray for Ben's foot, right? Yeah, welcome to New Song Church. My name is Grant, and I had the privilege of serving as lead pastor here, which is like, I mean, it's coming up for 8 years, which is unbelievable. You know, all the highs and lows of that, right? But yeah. We are gathered to be side by side. That's our sermon series right now. And one of the primary things that we believe about ourselves as a church, I think it's kind of related to this text over here that says, we share with you what we have seen and heard so that you also might have fellowship with us and with God in Christ, and together make our joy complete. We believe that this thing that we're doing is what God intends for us. The people from all diverse places are coming united under the one name of Jesus and finding ourselves in the rough and tumble of community, some of the good stuff, some of the difficult stuff, but that we stick with it. We find ourselves growing over time, becoming a powerful force in our community where God dwells richly and where people can meet his son Jesus through us and all that we do. Amen. That deserved an amen, didn't it, Eileen? We have some things that you've been handed, hopefully. The first one is a worship guide, which has a bunch of things going on over here. Ways to learn more about our church. The main thing down here, I just want to highlight Church Center app. If you want to be kind of plugged in with what's going on, that's a really good way to do it, to be on the Church Center app. And just when you do it, just there are lots of churches called New Song, which are on the Church Center app. So just make sure you're in the San Dimas one, because you might be wondering, what? What's happening? It doesn't sound like our church, so check that out. We also have handed out this fill-in-the-blanks thing, which is, again, I'll tell you, it's not obligatory. You know, no one's going to be checking your work. It's just maybe a handy way for some of us to follow along with the sermon. On the back of that is something that we really value, because beginning of this year, we did a sermon series about the Bible. And it's our conviction that the Bible is a crucial aspect to our growth, and we all need to be in the Word. So this is a way for us to kind of do that together. So there's a text for next week's sermon on the back of here that you can just reflect on, even if you don't open your Bible any other time. Spend a little time every day praying, prayerfully reading through this, and then there'll be a question that comes if you're signed up in midweek with a reflection about this text to kind of get our hearts begin to be drawn towards this idea of offer hospitality to one another, which is next week. We also have some cards here in the seat backs. The first one's a Connect card. We really love it if you would fill one in if you're a guest with us, so you can be more informed about what's all going on here as you kind of discern. Maybe there's a place for you here among this community. The second thing is a prayer card, and there are various boxes here. Please check them so we know where these prayer cards are to go. And we'd really, really appreciate you to share whatever it is you're carrying that you would like your brothers and sisters to be praying for. And those can go in the box at the back of this room or in the foyer, along with any giving, tithes, and offerings that you are bringing today. We really encourage everyone to take seriously the call to be a participant in that area of life, that God has richly blessed us. We are an independent church supported entirely by what comes from us on Sundays or electronically through the week. So if you're not someone who's currently supporting this ministry, and if you value it, I would encourage you, amongst all the other wonderful things you can support, to support what we're doing here financially. On the back of the worship guide, there is an update of where we are. We want to keep everyone informed about as a congregation where we are, so you can check that out and see how God might be moving you to help to meet some of those needs. I think that's that. I think we can get right back into our sermon now. We're in Side by Side. I almost feel like squeezing everyone up. Like if there's any gaps, just close them as a visible thing, right? But that might be a bit weird. But we're in the series about being together, side by side, and we're exploring these phrases in the New Testament that include the words one another. Let's do what we did again the past couple of weeks. Let's read where we've been so far together, if you will. We started with love one another, encourage one another, serve one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, accept one another. Alva came up this morning with his arms outstretched and said, you know, to hug me and said, you know, a few weeks ago, bear hug one another is what he changed it to and gave me this massive Alva hug. So thanks, Alva. Yeah. This morning's phrase is this. It is teach and admonish one another. And that is the easiest fill in the blanks you'll get this morning. Teach and admonish one another. How do we begin to understand and to obey this command? Because that's what it is, God's word to us through the Apostle Paul. Teach and admonish one another. Well, I'm going to start with a question this morning as we get into this idea, and it's this. Why do you come to church on a Sunday morning? We could expand that to why do you gather with other Christians at any time, but we're particularly talking about this thing we're doing today. Why do you come to church? Don't think, overthink it. You could just write something down on your sheet if you're doing the fill in the blanks. Why do you come to church on a Sunday morning? Why did you come this morning? Why is this part of your life? Some suggestions for a coffee and a snack. To hear Pastor Grant's terrible jokes. They're wonderful, actually, aren't they? To spend time with people. To be with other people, perhaps. To be entertained. It is sometimes entertaining. To see your friends. A regular check-in with people that you know and that you like. To be encouraged and inspired after maybe a hard week and going into a week that might also be hard, and you want to get a little pep talk, a little fire, a little encouragement. To experience a time of worshiping God. To learn about God. So that's true. These are many things that we can have as a reason for coming to church, but I think that pretty much all of these, every one of them could be accomplished without coming here on a Sunday morning, without showing up on this particular day, at this particular time, with these particular people. You can find good food all over the place and better coffee, let's just be honest. You can find really good preaching elsewhere.
No.
Who said that? Kathy, I love you. The check's in the mail. You can find really good music, better music. I mean, you know, let's just be honest, right? We're kind of a humble church. We don't have the best of the best, right? You can find time with others that you decide what you're going to do during that time. You can find community. You can find Christian entertainment, Bibleopoly, whatever. You can find Christian education. You can find Christian inspiration. There is better coffee and snacks to be found elsewhere. There are better preachers. There are smarter and more engaging teachers. There are better musicians. And there are more comfortable groups of people to be with. I want to tell you this morning as we begin that Sunday mornings are really only and ever all about one thing. And it includes everything that we do when we gather on a Sunday morning. And it is captured by one short word, which is in the fill in the blanks, which begins with F. Any guesses? Huh? Wrong. Nah, nah. Huh? Wow, okay. It's formation. Formation. Two syllables, one exclamation point. What? Three syllables. See, I told you there were better preachers and teachers with a better grasp of the English language. I'm not from here. I learned English as a second language. So, it is God's desire to form and shape us in so that we become more closely aligned with the human life that we see in Jesus, more fully human. Jesus is the example of what it means to live like a human being that is healed and healthy and living in God's kingdom in such a beautiful, powerful way. And we're made in his image, and he wants to see that image formed in us. What does it mean to be formed? Well, my wonderful daughter, Kira, I never ask her for permission anymore about, because it's never anything embarrassing. It's always good stuff. She discovered recently a new passion while completing her associate's degree at Citrus College. She has discovered a joy, which is evident every time she comes out from class, because it's a joy in shaping clay and ceramics. So maybe I am weird and my aesthetic is completely off, but I think that this picture, this object, is a far better thing to have around the house than this object. Would you agree with me? The lump of clay is not particularly beautiful. It is not particularly useful. And it does not particularly reveal the mind, a mind, right? A personality and creative power of a maker. Whereas the bowl does all these things. It is beautiful. It is useful. And it reflects a creator. It is so meaningful. It just displays purpose, intention. And every week when my daughter Kira has come back from class, I have witnessed her deep joy and pleasure in the work that she has done. She shows us photographs of the things she's been doing. She's found such a deep joy in forming, fashioning bowls, plates, etc., from a lump of clay. And once her class is over, she will have this beautiful group of really useful objects to enjoy and to use, to delight over, to say, wow, look at, I've made this thing. Wow, I did this. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, we hear these words from the prophet. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Fill in the blank. We are the clay, and God is the potter. Now, here's the challenge, because it says, yet you are, at the beginning of that passage. Right before this, there is a very challenging set of words that leads up to this assertion that God is the potter and we are the clay. And it's not particularly great to hear as human beings, but this is what the prophet says. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. This is the story of humanity told time and time again in the scriptures and then played out in the world that we live in and the world that we live out. That things are so broken, like these misshapen lumps of clay, or we're trying to self-form ourselves into all sorts of shapes and sizes based on broken, faulty purpose and meaning. It's broken, but this tells us that God does not cast us away. He seeks us and he calls us towards his love. This great artist wants to make something of us. And it is God's desire, it's a fill in the blank, it's God's desire for us to be shaped into something beautiful and powerful and purposeful. And not only that, but it's what the world needs. The world God so loved needs us to be formed into these kind of people. And it's not simply for the purpose of being useful. Like Mel said one time, God's not looking for employees. He's looking for people who will serve joyfully, embracing who we're made to be, and to share a deep joy with our Creator, being his creations. So just as a lump of clay is shaped by the ceramicist's hands, so we are shaped in God's hands. Romans 8 says this in a popular verse for us to say. It says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. What is more good than being shaped by a loving Creator for purpose, who have been called according to his purpose? He called the lump of clay to the potter's wheel. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, and that's a big picture thing, but he just says, he chose you for this, to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We take our place alongside him in this purposeful kingdom, people being formed. What does he most desire to accomplish in this? What does it formation look like? What does it result in? What is being changed? What is the result? Well, this scripture that Kirsty read for us this morning tells us four main things that God desires to form in us, his people, a congregation of worshipers. those of us being formed by this great creator God. The first is unity in Christ. Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. One body called to peace, unity in Christ. That's a fill in the blank. The second one is gratitude for Christ. Be thankful. This congregation, this group, anyone who gathers in a Sunday morning church, should be some of the most grateful people in the community. Grateful in Christ, for Christ, because of Christ. The third thing is the truth about Christ. The passage begins with this: the word of Christ must dwell in you richly. We must be people who are becoming more progressively understanding, comprehensive of what is most true in this world that is so full of mistruths and spin and downright lies about who we are, what we're for, what God is like, etc. And the fourth thing is this commitment to Christ. We should be formed as those who are committed to Jesus above all else. What he says doesn't leave any wiggle room, any things in life that are not to be brought under commitment to Christ. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And once again, what does he say? Give thanks to God the Father through him. So those of us who are being formed in a distinctly Christian way, because this world, remember we talked about the pattern, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Those of us who are being changed will be growing in these areas: unity, gratitude, truth, and commitment. So our text this morning reminds us that we are people who are being formed in these particular ways. As Paul reminded the church in the first century in Colossae, that they were being formed. And it answers two questions. The first one is, who is responsible for the formation of this community? Who is responsible that this formation is taking place here in this community or any other intentional community that gathers to be God's people in a place? The second is, by what means are they participating in this work of formation? How is that happening? So the first question, who is responsible for the formation of our community? And here's the answer. We all are. You and you, I could go through every single person. You and you and you and you. That's so convicting, isn't it? Horrible, isn't it? And, I could probably name almost every person in this room, right? You, insert your name here, are responsible with everyone else for this, for the formation of our community. When we gather together to worship as a community. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another. Teach and admonish one another. What could it be? Hug one another. You know, there's many ways we say one another. We're going to talk in a minute, by the way, about what teach and admonish means. But the first thing I want us to understand is no one is immune or excluded from this ministry and this work. So how are we participating in this formation? If we are all participants, what is it we're actually doing? So the passage tells us, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. By what? Can we say it? By singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Is that weird? A little bit weird? To be honest, this kind of caused me a bit of confusion. I did a double take when I kind of understand like the implication of what Paul's saying, because it was new to me, and it was like, what? Surely I, the mighty Grant, preacher of preachers, are responsible for the formation, maybe, 90% of it, that happens on a Sunday morning. I'm not being prideful. That's often the model that we're given, right? You all sit there, like recipients, like passively, and I am doing formation, like sprinkling my magic wand over the top of everybody, right? This completely breaks that idea, and it makes me kind of like here. I might just stay here, actually. That feels good. You know, there is something about this. I always have this longing to just have this thing down here. Or I remember a preacher who I had who would wander the aisles preaching. It was a bit scary at times, especially when he got to the like a really convicting part and he happened to be right next to you. You're like, did he mean to be next to me when he said that? We all are. And I checked. I went into scholarship and biblical stuff saying, is that really what it says? Or is, because some of the translations are a bit softer. They're kind of like, so is it, you know, teaching and admonish one another and also sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs? But no, it seems to be pretty clear that it's the singing, the songs and the psalms and spiritual songs are the means by which God's people are teaching and admonishing one another. Surely songs can't carry that much weight to form God's people? But that's what we're being told to understand, and therefore that's what we're to participate in if we want to be formed as the people of God. So then I thought about it, and I realized something really kind of, I think we don't think of very often. And it might surprise you to hear this, that the printing press had not yet been invented when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Colossae. Did anyone know that? Anyone know what date the printing press was invented? 1440? Gail, you are a genius. By the way, if you want to know anything, just ask Gail, okay? Talk about better teachers. There we go. People didn't bring their Bibles to church on Sunday. They didn't have Bibles. Maybe they had some Old Testament scriptures, but it depended where they were. I mean, this is a Gentile church. This is not. Paul's having a ministry to people who were not even Jewish people. They weren't going to a synagogue. They're meeting somewhere. They might have got their hands on some Old Testament passage, some Psalms or some prophets or the Pentateuch, but there was pretty much nothing else. Mark was the first gospel written, but even then, for most churches in the early church, they didn't have any gospels. And remember, this wasn't like, hey, you know, everyone open your thing to the Colossians, right? It was a letter written by one person to this church, and maybe they shared it around, but they did not have all these resources. So how did they learn? Well, surely, yes, some prophecy. We hear that they prophesied. Some of that was just simply someone who the power of God and the Spirit of God compelled them to speak truth. It was an interesting time. But the most common and powerful way that the church was formed was by what we're talking about this morning, that we would teach and admonish one another with all wisdom by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's telling us that we all participate in the formation over time of the people of God by singing together. Does that feel like a strange idea? Let's dig into it a little bit. Let's think about these two aspects, teaching, admonishing. One of those words seems probably obvious to you, what teaching means. The other one, when's the last time you used the word admonishment in a sentence? Not often, right? So teaching is literally to impart knowledge. It is as it says, that there's going to be something that we understand as truth, as knowledge. Well, admonishment is different. Some Bible translations use the word warn. But it's a little bit of a hard, when you see a Bible word and you compare like six translations and they're all different, that should tell you something. It tells you that word doesn't have a naturally easy word to translate from the original Greek to English. But what this word really means is literally to give a sense of what we'd respond, how you respond. Like if there's a warning in there, it demands and calls for a response. So teaching is about knowledge. What happened? What happened? Who is God? What has he done? It's information. That's a fill in the blank. Teaching gives us information. Well, the second thing, admonishing, in light of God's character, who we're learning God to be, the truth about God we're learning, what is our best and reasonable response? That's about inspiration. So we've got two things, teaching admonishment. The first one's about information. We're learning as a group of people by singing. We're learning the gospel. We're learning the story. We're learning Jesus' life and what it is that we can believe to be true. And secondly, as we sing, we're forming right responses. What therefore should we be like? What we should live by, live like? Okay, so I want to let you know, fill in the blanks is done for now. I think it's done, right? So now you can fully concentrate. You know what's amazing is that we helpfully have some of the songs that these people were teaching and admonishing one another by means of, because they are preserved in the New Testament itself. You ever know that? That there are songs. We always think about the Psalms being the songs of the Bible. In the New Testament, we have songs reproduced. We don't know the melody, as you're about to find out, but we do know the songs. I'm going to show you something. Philippians chapter 2. Now, can you see here, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Can you see that it's written differently? What is different about from verse 6 on to 11? Just someone shout it out. Huh? Like phrases, right? It's indented, right? It's the way it's written is different. Like this, most people do it like this in translations because this is considered to be a song. If you look at the Psalms, if you have a Bible and you look at Philippians 2 and then you flip back to the Psalms, it looks like the Psalms because it's a song. So does this song do what we're saying the songs of the people did? When Paul says teach and admonish one another through singing and psalms and spiritual songs, yeah, we know where the Psalms are, but was this something that was happening? Let's look at this passage and say, okay, where is it teaching? What is it teaching? And where is it calling for a response, an inspiration? Well, we start with Jesus. Here's the truth part. Who being in very nature God did not consider... I'm going to sing it, actually. That's what I meant to do. Right, you ready? I'm making this up. Pray for me. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. It's easier in the original Greek. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I don't know if that's how it went. But do you see the pattern? Teaching. I mean, we have a lot of novelty sometimes. We change hymns every week, you know? These were liturgical hymns that people would sing. And at the beginning part, it's all truth. It's all about teaching, right? This is what we must believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit, about what Christ has done, what has happened. And the second part is the admonishing. And actually, it is warning, because it says, every knee, in the name of Jesus, every single knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you have no choice in that, because as the song says, you either do it now or you do it on the day when he comes back. There is beautiful truth. Wow, what God has done for us, and there's warning, admonishment. This is a right response for any sane person. If this is true, you should, must, you're called to, you're invited to respond. You know, it's kind of amazing because all of creation does the same pattern, right? The Psalms say, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Who am I that you should care about me? I will worship you. So nature does this. And every good formative song has this pattern. And I've been noticing it this morning in our singing, that we are being taught what is true and we are being called, inspired to respond in an appropriate manner to what is true. So what about now? This was written a long time ago, mid-first century. We have the full New Testament. We've got all the Bible. We've got the best preacher in San Dimas. We have so many responses. Is this now not something that applies to us anymore? Well, it still applies. It still applies. Of course it does. Of course it does. And maybe some of us have forgotten why we sing and just the incredible power that is inherent in this. And this text is calling us to renew our minds and understanding this powerful thing that we are formed and by teaching and admonishing one another through music and singing together. How does that happen? Let's think about the categories that we said God wants to form us in, the things he wants to see show up amongst us, the change in us. And the first thing is teaching. So it's formation, truth about Christ. How do we grow in truth through this? Well, you probably already know this, like singing is one of the best ways to preserve and to promote ideas, beliefs, and cultures. There's not a nation or a culture in the world who has not discovered the power of song in continuing their songs and their stories and their beliefs and their understanding of reality. Before most world's peoples were able to make written records of their lives and their beliefs and their stories and their histories, their values and their culture, they were passed down through song to remind again and again the younger generation coming up, I'm going to teach you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? This is how we communicate truth in a profound and powerful way. And singing is truth that shapes us over time. It makes us, our worldview, our beliefs, they start to get sink deep in us. There's something about music, words, truth set to music that seems so much more powerful than simply words on their own. And I have clear evidence for that statement because every month, Melody and Ben and I and Tracy sometimes and others go to the San Dimas Retirement Center. I don't know if you guys know that. You know, sometimes we don't do such a good job of communicating what God is doing through us. But every first Wednesday of the month, we go to the San Dimas Retirement Center, and no one really goes there. It's not really a popular place to go, I don't think. And we go there every first Wednesday, and we do a whole hour with any residents who want to come, and we do a full service. We do a message, we do singing, we do communion, we pray with them, and we bring snacks. It's like the full thing, right? I just want to say, if anyone's free the first Sunday, first Wednesday of the month, at 10 o'clock, you're welcome to come. Because you will encounter Jesus there. Let me just say that. So after we've done that, we go to the memory care unit. And they just expanded it. And this is a place for people who are experiencing dementia, Alzheimer's, all these kinds of things. And the first time I went there, it was just like, it's a big deal stepping into a place and it's very chaotic because if the door gets left open and an alarm goes off, there's loud announcements all the time. In fact, one time there was an alarm going off and I figured out what key it was and we sang a hymn in that key just so we could not worry about it so much. Okay, it's an A, you know. Great is thy faith. Nah, 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 nah. And it's really kind of, I had one woman do a seductive kind of dance with me one time when I was singing and the nurse was like, are you okay? I said, I was in a punk rock band. This is nothing. But what is the most amazing thing? And I think what was so amazing was the staff had never really seen this before. And I know there's videos online about this kind of event. But there was one woman in particular when I was playing these songs. And we give out word sheets, but most of the folks they're not finding able to turn, they understand how to turn the sheet, because it's like six sheets and it's complicated, or they're two types of it small and they can't see. So only a few of them have the word sheets. But this one particular woman, and she was just looking me right in the eyes and singing the songs. And afterwards, one of the nurses came and was kind of flabbergasted, was saying, you know, she never talks. Like, you've heard about that, right? And she's singing. It was a blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. And just looking at me with this glowing face. Why is that so? Why, when she's lost all the other words and all the other connections and faces, that when that music comes, she's singing along? There's a power in music to communicate truth, to form us deeply in ways that even illness and disease cannot remove from us. I think most of you will only remember a little bit of this sermon. And most sermons, and there's a thing about sermons and preaching, it's not the one day. It's a terrible thing if a person preaching thinks that the whole church is going to become this, you know, incredibly transformed thing because you said something on a Sunday. That is also week by week by week by week. That's why we do sermon series and we go through a book of the Bible, because it's meant to be foundational, step by step, forming, and it happens over a long period of time. But still, on a Sunday, most people don't remember what I said, but I guarantee you, you'll be humming or singing the songs that Ben leads us in. If not that day, if that day, but maybe all week long. How deep the Father's love for us. So truth, the second one, second part is admonishing one another. How does it call for a reaction when we sing together? Well, the first one we're going to talk about is formation, is unity. Unity in Christ. Singing is a profoundly unitive experience that draws people together, makes them feel like one body. You know, there's some Church of Christ that don't have any instruments. They're non-instrumental Church of Christ. You know, we don't do that, and maybe I disagree with some of their reading of Scripture, but there's something beautiful about the fact how well they sing. If you want to hear some singing, go to a place where they just sing the Psalms and everyone's doing like 25-part harmonies. There probably aren't that many harmonies available, but they're doing it. Profoundly unitive. I think it's so sad sometimes when we end up with a worship team and we try to fight that with everything we have, where you are the spectators at a concert and they are the performers singing and no one's singing. I've gone to churches sometimes and people are just watching and no one's singing. It's profoundly unitive. It brings us together. Think about other areas of life where you feel a sense of unity because we're singing together. Protest songs, right? So many protest songs, we realize the cause that we're singing for. I'm not going to sing any just now. It might be controversial. But I could sing some soccer songs. You're going home in an ambulance. It's a popular Scottish one. Yeah. And it feels like, does baseball have songs? Does American football have songs? Like soccer, one of the most important things of a soccer game is the singing, right? I bet the LA Galaxy has songs. They're probably cleaner than the Scottish songs. Wow, right? And spiritual songs. There's a reason that people who are experiencing the devastating cruelty of slavery wrote a lot of songs. Because it was a way to bring unity to their experience. Like, we are under this pain. But it's also really striking to realize that many, many, many of their songs referred to the Passover in Egypt and the freedom God's people experienced. They are deeply biblical songs. Even though the church at that time, much of it, the white church was using the Bible to keep them in that subservient position, but they understood the power of singing about the freedom of Christ. It's so unitive. And not only that, but on any Sunday morning, there's people who are grieving and people who are rejoicing. It's by singing, we're able to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, but also to lament with those who are sorrowing. We don't just do happy songs. And someone asked me one time, how do I sing a song of lament when I'm not feeling particularly sad? Because you're doing so in unity and community and brotherhood and sisterhood with those who are lamenting today. And not just here, but around the world. It joins us together in an incredible way. What is amazing about singing is everyone can participate in this ministry. We don't all preach, and let me just say, nor should we. But we can all teach and admonish one another in this amazingly powerful way. It doesn't matter how many people are present. Some of the most profound worship services have been me and six people. It doesn't matter how skilled a musician we are. One of the most profound services I ever had was when the pastor played a little bongo. You know, it wasn't a good one either. And this cowboy guy like strummed some songs and they sung like I'll Fly Away. And I was transported by that experience. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. It is so, it's a democracy, this singing. For example, on Soup Sunday, your thing, favorite thing might be the soup. My favorite thing is that we have three young girls singing over here in the corner. And can I tell you, such is the power of the kingdom of God that sees no age limit to what is someone who's teaching. That they are teaching us. I was thinking earlier this week, you know, maybe we can stop with the, and actually move into when we see them singing with their joyful faces, more like, aha, wow, they're teaching me. I'm learning from children. I love these guys. You guys are amazing. So the next one is formation, is gratitude for Christ. When we do this, it should well up in us. Gratitude. And part of the reason is because through the week, we kind of forget the truths. I mean, I'm a pastor, right? I spend a lot of the time during the week thinking about religious things and stuff, right? But I'm so quick to forget like the vital, close to my heart truth that Jesus has conquered death and sin. But when I come and I'm gathering on a Sunday morning and I'm telling again with all my brothers and sisters what is most true in this universe, I cannot help but experience gratitude. You know the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. It sounds like a cliche, but it is one of the greatest things to do to overcome the downward drag of the world we live in. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Keep going. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you know that song. Hey, should have had the words on the screen, sorry. That's the picture, right? God made this day. And every part of his grace, his love, and his purpose is right here, right now. And how can I be despairing in light of that? And I know depression's a real thing and everything, but even in the midst of that, even the times when I felt the darkest, and the thing I wanted most to do was stay away from this, the thing I realized after I came was the one thing I most needed was to be here. To remember what is most true. And the fourth one is formation. How are we being formed? Well, it's commitment to Christ. Commitment to Christ. Imagine you decided to obey this command as often as you could. Because you want to obey the Bible, right? Everyone? Be careful saying yes. Really? Because if we are committed to Christ and we believe that this is true, we believe that we're everyone an equal and vital part of the formation of the church, that it can be the power that Christ wants it to be in this community, then the first thing is, one of the primary things, is that we cannot obey the command without being in the same room together and singing praises to God side by side. You know, the true fruit of this side by side series would be shown by more of us prioritizing this being together over all the other stuff that demands our time and our attention. I know that's hard. But the true test of this would be that we prioritize and take actually personal responsibility. Like if someone asks you, tell me about who you are, what your identity, one of your main things would say on your resume, I'm a former of Christian lives and the power in the kingdom. Oh, how do you do that? I do it by coming to alongside my brothers and sisters and teaching and admonishing them with everybody else on Sundays, and the church is being built as Christ grows and transforms and molds us. And remember, this is not, I'm not taking numbers, I'm not checking names. This is not a compulsion or like, you better do this. It's an invitation to experience the fullness of what it means to be in fellowship with God and his people. And our culture has completely decided that that's completely an optional extra and it doesn't matter that much. And secondly, commitment to Christ, the steady formation that this produces in us over time will start to show itself. The deeper the truth comes, the more the unity comes, the more sense of gratitude, the more and more the things that we do and that we say will come from a sense of commitment to the God who gave us life. It will transform us. So I got to address a question that some of you are thinking. Well, I don't sing very well. Anyone? So I'm going to give you just a complete, you know, you can't use that as an excuse, okay? Or, I mean, some of us just find it hard to sing. Like, I have asthma. Some days I just feel like I'm not really, I've got stuff going on. I don't feel like able to sing. I don't have the puff in my lungs. So one of my favorite passages that just takes away all the pressure on that is this one in Ephesians 5. And this is actually a parallel passage because Paul he wrote things to churches that he also wrote to other churches with slightly different wording, but it was the same kind of point. This is the version in Ephesians. Be filled with the Spirit, church, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He said speaking there, but of course it's kind of speaking, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Some of us are singing, but all of us are making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And your heart is not going to participate if your heart is not in the building. Okay? So don't worry if you don't sing well. In fact, I love the sound of bad singing. You know? C.S. Lewis wrote this thing when he was first a Christian. He was very solitary. And because he went to church and he thought their singing, their music was second rate. Third rate even. He thought it was terrible music. But then one day it dawned on him when he saw this old guy, singing with such gusto these songs and these hymns that he said that I wasn't fit to tie his shoelaces. And he realized his own pride and conceit. And that's when he started showing up and saying, man, I'm going to sing with the saints because they are my encouragement. So a new understanding of the role of music, perhaps. I hope that we've thought a little bit about what it is that we do. And because I think sometimes we come to church, we don't know, why are we singing, you know? If we just do it, right? It's fun. It is deeply formative. In fact, I just want to say one more thing about this. It is a form of spiritual warfare. In the Old Testament, there's been a few sermons given by people like John Piper who talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel were going into battle against greater forces, overwhelming power, terrified, you know who they put at the front of their army? The worship team. Imagine that, Ben. We're all behind you. Got my sword. Hey, Ben, you go first. Go. And the most striking version of that, it's the scripture tells us that when they brought praises and the band sang and they worshiped God, this is the king and this is the Lord above all. The enemies were frightened. They fled like bagpipes at the front of the Scottish army. No, they fled. They fell back before the army even got there. No blood was shed because they ran. When we sing the truth about God, the darkness trembles. So the last thing I want to say here in this part is in the text. If we are wise, we will do this. If we are wise, who among us is wise? Who will grasp who will hold on to the call and the invitation to be a participant in this kind of formation. The text says, teach and admonish one another by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it says in the beginning, with all wisdom. This is what wise people do. What is wisdom? But the right application of truth, that we believe this gospel to be true, a wise application would say that we would want to be present with the saints, you know? When the saints go marching and I want to be among that number. It's happening now. His kingdom has come. We are here. In a minute, we're going to go to communion. And I just want to share something that's always struck me. Because I was a worship leader before I was a preacher. So this has always been a preoccupation of mine. How to encourage the people of God to embrace the great gift that is singing and worship. And so I always love this, which usually gets ignored when we do take scripture before communion, but it's one of my favorite parts of the story in Matthew 26. And it says this, and when they had sung a hymn, Jesus and his disciples, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Just think about that, you know, as we're thinking about leaving and going into the world, whatever trials await us out there, what could be better for us? That's why we close with more singing than having opportunity to teach and admonish one another. Hey, folks, as we go, remember what is most true. Jesus was about to be betrayed. He knew what was happening. And I'm sure he was the one that said, let's sing a hymn together. Teaching one another, admonishing one another. And I did some research on this, and in the Passover feast, there was one psalm in particular that most commentators and scholars say was very likely the one that they would have sung as they closed their Passover time together. And I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to read it through the filter of what are we being taught? What was Jesus teaching his disciples? What were they called to remember that was true? And what in that dark, dark, dark time was their appropriate response? Where was the encouragement for them, the inspiration? Here's what it is. I'm not going to sing it this time. I'm just going to speak it, okay? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good no matter what's about to happen. His love endures forever, beyond this night, into the future, for eternity. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. I will not die but live. And I will proclaim what the Lord has done. I give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we will bless you. The Lord is good, and he has made his light to shine on us. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. All that God has done, is doing, and will do, and all the ways in there that I can best and most reasonably respond, they told one another and sung to one another of his truth about who he was. And as we prepare to come to the table, we're going to do that very same thing with a song called Build My Life. We're going to teach each other, brothers and sisters, by singing to God, towards God as affirmation of what he's promised us, and to one another to say, hey, folks, remember this, remember this. And then we're also making commitments to admonish. We're going to teach by saying, worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. He's worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. And then the second part, to admonish, to be inspired, to respond. We live for you. We live for you. We will build our lives upon your love. It's a firm foundation. We will put our trust in you alone, and we will not be shaken. Let's sing together. Let's stand so we can sing best. My choir teacher always said, stand up, Grant. Let your diaphragm give some stretch, okay? Let's be led by our worship team, by our warriors of spiritual warfare in this song together. Come to communion now. This is a welcome for all who is their desire to follow Jesus, to be on this road, on this journey of companionship, relationship with God and with one another. If you're just kind of figuring this out right now, you know, communion is really an opportunity when people say, yes, this is my story, this is my song, this is my way. The disciples are invited to join Jesus for that experience. So it's okay if you want to wait, you know, and not do this today. But if even in the slightest, this could be the first time you do it, you say, I want to know Jesus. So I'm going to come to the table. I'm going to say, I'm coming here because I want to meet you. I want to know you. Even the smallest little part of that. But in your own time, if this is your journey, your story, your commitment, there's a table at the back, a table at the front. Come and take the piece of bread and the cup that reminds us of what Christ has done. And then we'll take them together shortly. This is also a moment for teaching and admonishing. Jesus has done it. He said, it is finished. Our sins have been taken away from us. Death has been defeated, and we are free. So we respond by doing what he taught his disciples, and then Paul said, as often as you meet, do this in remembrance of him. Christ took bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks, and he said, this is my body, take and eat. And after supper, he took a cup, and in the same way, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift of life. Help us, Lord, to grow in unity, in gratitude, in truth, and in commitment. In Jesus' name, as you lead.
Like after that sermon and that song, we should really sing these announcements.
Okay. You first.
Everyone on the way out, go buy some cookies, make them shout. Look at the money we've raised. Your turn.
Okay. We had a really good blood drive this week. Had over 40 people and saved some lives. Yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, it was fantastic. Tons of people. I didn't get an exact number, but it's a regular thing we're doing every time we can. And, like, what better thing than, like, giving our blood for the well-being of our community? It's a fantastic thing. So thanks for you who have a little mark on your arm today. Much appreciated. We're not going to sing anymore.
I want to keep it going.
Okay, do you?
Shoop, do doop, doop, boop, boop.
Okay, reggae. Pantry Report in reggae style.
Come on. I can't do it. Drop a beat. No, I don't know. Oh, my. The pantry. I will just say thank you for those of you who have just shopped for extra things and donated extra items and asking how you can participate in that. We had, again, a crazy number of guests yesterday, and we had a great team, a great system. We were able to serve everyone. Yeah. So I will just ask you, just please continue to, if you see stuff on sale, grab it, bring it on Sunday, drop it by in the office during office hours. If you are interested in volunteering in the pantry, the person to talk to is me. So please make sure you talk to me or you drop me a line on one of those Connect cards and say, Melody, I'd like to volunteer, and we can talk about it. But thank you so much.
Yeah, last night... You know, I realized that the worship night should have been probably after the sermon this morning, because I think there'd be a lot more people there, I would hope, you know. But we're going to be doing it again in the future. So if you missed it last night, I just want to tell you, it was profound. It was a profound time, right? Who was there? And these guys, you know, these guys worked so hard basically to lay a table of worship that we can feast at. So I'd say next time it happens, like, we'll let you know, hopefully further in advance, and you guys can make a plan to be there, because once again, it is so much better when there's a large gathering of people. So yeah, make a point. But it was beautiful. Thank you, Ben, and all your work, and Ellie and the team. All these guys, you know, so good. And then tonight, come hang out with me. Here's some more bad jokes. We're going to have a men's gathering at the Glendora Public Market at 6:30. Just a really casual hangout. There's food there, there's drink there. If you want to come, I'd love to see you. We just put a few tables together, and you'll kind of end up sitting next to somebody, and you can talk about life. It is really fun. 6:30, Glendora Public Market. Let me ask me for details if you need it.
And lastly, ladies, we are getting together tomorrow night. If you didn't receive one of these, please, I have a few left. We are putting together a recipe book to gift our pantry guests at Christmas time, but we want to put together something with staple items that the pantry guests normally receive. So your most creative recipe, your most creative item with some staple things that we find in our pantry, that is tomorrow night. And the bonus, do you remember, what does the pantry always have an abundance of?
Bananas!
Yes, so many bananas. There's a song. I could write a song about that. So the bonus is, can you make a recipe that is not banana bread that includes bananas? So I'm so excited for you to try what I am making for tomorrow.
I wish I could come. I've got some ideas. We're going to close now with our blessing. Yeah, if you guys, we covered a little bit over time, so the folks who are working with your kids, if you have kids in the thing, you can stick around and have some coffee and things, but go grab them first. But let's close now with these ancient words that do teach us, and they admonish us. They call for a response. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here today to show his love to one another. It is such a gift. God bless.